All right, the recorder is going. I'm in the Bible. Apparently I did something between this week and last week. Something in the Bible. Let's see. Okay, we're at NTI Acts chapter 6. Is that right, or did we do further than that? Does anybody remember?
I think we're at chapter 7 now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we started 7.
Yeah.
Okay, so we did all of NTI. So we're at NTI Acts chapter 7, which I have as page 226. What do you guys have in the paper version? 226. All right, so NTI Acts chapter 7, page 226. To trust in me is to give everything over to me. Me here being, of course, Holy Spirit. To not trust in me is to want to do things your way. And this you are free to do with my blessing. But to do things your way is to continue to stumble. To trust in me is to learn and remember your joy. I ask for trust because I reveal things to you one step at a time. I reveal things to you one step at a time. That's okay. Because you have lessons to learn with each step. If I revealed the entire plan, you would want to advance to the end and you would miss the lessons that are necessary to getting there. Relax and give me your trust. Know that the end is joy. Anticipate the middle as a glorious adventure with joys and surprises of its own. The path can be easy if you give me your trust quickly and fully each step of the way. It can seem difficult if you choose to fight me. Ha ha. But know this, I am not fighting you, my child. I am holding you lovingly in my arms as you struggle with yourself. When you tire of struggling, I am there with you, ready to proceed. So last week when we were at the silent retreat, we did have a little meeting in the morning and a little meeting in the evening where people could write out questions on a piece of paper. And in the morning meeting, I would answer them. If it was the evening meeting, then Sylvain, who was my co-host from France, would answer them. One of the questions that someone asked me was something like, you know, basically the idea was, how long does it take to where you feel peace all of the time? How long does that take? And I said, the question doesn't really have an answer because it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of willingness. I mentioned that when I was originally guided to leave my job, right, so that I could write NTI. When I was originally guided to leave my job, I had $50,000 in the bank. I had no debt, but I was terrified, right? And the reason I was terrified is because I was listening to ego's interpretation of the situation. Ego was telling me, you know, something bad is going to happen. You're going to run out of money at some point and blah, 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 blah. And so even though I was following the guidance, even though I quit my job and I moved and I did all of that, I was still listening to ego. And that's why I was afraid. And it took, I don't remember exactly, 3 or 4 years before I let go of that fear. And in fact, the day I let go of the fear was the day that I've told you guys about before, when I woke up at 2:16 in the morning, right, and then read that prayer. That was the day I let go of the fear. But that was three or four years after the fear started. I didn't have to go 3 or 4 years. The day that I received my guidance to quit my job and to move, I could have immediately gone into full trust. That, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out, right? I have no idea, but I trust. And I really didn't have to experience any fear at all. And so that's really part of what's being said here in these particular paragraphs. Spirit is saying, if you will trust me fully, you won't ever have to experience fear. But if you want to continue to trust yourself, Spirit's saying you can do that, But you're also going to continue the suffering. You're going to continue the fear. You know, so, and that's another mistake people make. Sometimes people think that if I'm not willing to surrender completely, if I want to maintain some control because I feel safer if I maintain control, then I'm bad, right? Because I'm breaking, you know, I'm not following Spirit's guidance completely, or I'm not trusting Spirit. Spirit's saying you're not bad. You know, you even have my permission to try and take control if you want to, okay? However, you're going to suffer. That's what's going to happen. As long as you try and control the entire universe, you're going to suffer. It's when you surrender to me completely and you let go of your control, that's when you're going to be happy. So again, it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of when we make that decision, when we decide to trust Spirit no matter what, right? Okay, so verses 9 to 16. The path that you walk with me will have steps that are necessary to your healing. You may not understand each step as it seems to come upon you, but do not let the steps confuse you. If you become lost in your confusion, trying to solve things on your own, you are not learning your lesson and you cannot advance on the path. Although the form of each lesson may seem to change, the lesson is always the same. Let go of any fear that would guide you to take matters into your own hands. Lay aside the illusory will that you do not want. Trust in your worth and in me and ask for my will. For in my will, you will recognize your will. Through these lessons, the merging of what seems separate will occur into what clearly is and has always been one. So I'm going to stop there before I read this last paragraph in this section. But it's interesting because Spirit says there's going to be appearance of many, many different lessons. But actually what they are is the same lesson over and over again. A Course in Miracles calls this the transfer of training. It's realizing that you apply the same lesson to every situation. You know, sometimes people think that the lesson, you know, here was this, and the lesson there was that, and the lesson over here is something different. And when something new comes up in their life, they're like, what's the lesson here? You know, what's the lesson here? Spirit's saying it's always the same lesson. That's really what you have to learn. Once you learn it's always the same lesson, you got it. But it's not a different lesson every time. The lesson is always to fully surrender to Spirit. It's not a different lesson each time. And that's what the Course would call transfer of training. And the only reason different types of situations appear is so that we can learn that even though the situations appear different, the problem is always the same. The problem is one of independent self-will, wanting to be a separate individual, wanting to be in control, wanting to be me. The problem is always the same. Therefore, the solution is always the same, surrendering of that independent will. I like that sound because that was the sound of my alarm clock in Israel. Is it Tom? Oh, tell her I said hi.
She's in the hospital.
She's in the hospital.
Yeah. Okay, Jesus says hi, and we're in the middle of class.
Patty, is she Texas?
Patty is her, she's from Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky.
And Patty is her sister who has lung cancer and brain cancer.
Oh.
So.
All right. It's powerful.
Yeah.
I think my aunt had kidney cancer, lung cancer, and then the brain cancer took her out.
Yeah,
she had all
the brain
three.
Cancer.
Yeah,
how's she doing?
She's got pneumonia, so
she's got pneumonia
you know,
now.
She's very weak. I understand.
Yeah.
I'm talking to mother. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, it's interesting because you know Patty calls. Patty's sick, very sick. The lesson is always the same: surrender. Right? I mean, that's true for you, true for your mom, true for Patty, you know, true for everybody. The lesson is always the same. So starting with sentence 10. This paragraph is funny. Although you may wish that one lesson would suffice in order to accomplish the inevitable fully, it will probably take more, and it will most likely take many. That's not because of, you know, God, that's because of us, you understand. We're the sub-stubborn ones, right? So, although you may wish that one lesson would suffice in order to accomplish the inevitable fully, it will probably take more, and it will most likely take many. This is because your mind is split and not fully ready to learn this lesson as yet. And so each lesson is a stepping stone to the final lesson, the lesson that will end all lessons. Enjoy your journey by realizing its purpose and by celebrating the progress that is made. I think this last sentence is really important. You know, one thing I also notice is a lot of people suffer on the spiritual path because of the pressure they put on themselves to have to get it right all the time, to always be in a certain mood, always be happy, to whatever. And it's funny because when Spirit says enjoy your journey, Spirit isn't actually saying always be happy. Spirit is really talking about keep in mind the purpose of everything and be in love with the purpose. And as you're in love with the purpose, then everything that occurs along the way, there will be this gratitude or appreciation for. You know, so that's one of the things I talk about when I was in that relationship with Laurent, which turned out to be a very strong healing relationship. But if you didn't understand the purpose of healing, and if you were looking at that relationship, you would have just thought it was insane. That it was like this terrible relationship, and that, you know, if you were on his side, that he should get out, and if you were on my side, that I should get out, right? I mean, that's the way it would have looked to the world. But for me and Laurent, because we understood the purpose of the relationship, right? Even when it was really, really tough and at times really, really painful, there was still always this gratitude for it. And so, you know, enjoy is a funny word, but like I wouldn't have traded it for anything, even when it was painful. So it's not the kind of enjoyment we typically think of where we're laughing and giggling the whole way. But it's an enjoyment that comes from appreciation and understanding of the purpose. Right?
I think that's kind of the way you had explained that part of RIT, the acceptance part, to accept where we are in our own inner journey, no matter where it's at. It's not maybe where you want to be, but that's where you're at, to accept that. And accepting it and realizing the purpose of it, celebrating, that's part of that acceptance, which is...
Yes, yes. In fact, I got a couple of messages from a guy this week in Poland who, you know, he was very brief in his messages, so I can't go real far into what he's experiencing, but based on what he told me, he tried like maybe meditating or something and tried reaching spirit, and his experience was he found only a dull emptiness, he called it, a dull emptiness. And he was very frustrated, and I'm sure he was probably very down on himself, as you can imagine, because you know how the ego is, probably thinking something's really, really wrong with me. You know, everybody else is experiencing this love, joy, spirit, and here I find nothing, you know, nothing. And so he was asking me what he should do. And, you know, basically what I could feel is what he needed to do was just do whatever made him happy for now. He needed to quit trying so hard to do what everybody else was talking about on Facebook, the meditating and all of that. He needed to just go off and be happy. You know, and that's accepting where, and if he would just go off and be happy, if he would stop putting so much pressure on himself, what he might find is that he starts accidentally finding some clarity here and some clarity there, and you know, through the relaxing. But it's like he was putting too much pressure on himself. Of course, Facebook is a very dangerous place in a way, because there are so many people on Facebook that claim to be enlightened. And that you can actually read Facebook, and pretty soon you think, I'm the only one here that, you know, I'm the only fool here that's not enlightened. And so it can actually be somewhat painful. But, you know, I just asked him to relax, you know, just accept where you're at, just go relax, go have fun. I told him to do whatever his heart asked him to do, give him whatever way his heart asked him to give, even if it's smiling. And I wanted him to move back into acceptance of himself. Because what I could tell was that he had moved into a very strong judgment of himself. You know, we do appear to all be in different places. You know, that's what the Course in Miracles says also within time. You know, some people appear to be ahead of other people, right? Also, we all have days where we feel, you know, we feel spirit more, we feel peace more, and then we have the other days when the ego is rising more. And what a lot of people will do is they'll call those peaceful, more joyous days good days, and they call those days when the ego is showing up bad days. They think they've slipped backwards, but that's not true. That's just judgment. In fact, A Course in Miracles says you don't know your advances from your retreats. Because many times when the ego is rising, this is your time to actually practice like rest, accept, and trust, which is just a form of forgiveness, right? And let go of the ego, which means even though it may be hurting like hell, it's actually an advance, right? So some of our days when we emotionally feel the worst can actually take us the farthest. And so that's why our peaceful days certainly are to be enjoyed. But those days that maybe aren't so peaceful in a different way, with appreciation and gratitude and understanding of purpose, are to be enjoyed too. You know, Peace Pilgrim talked about the hills and valleys of the spiritual path. And she said she would go up on like a, you know, she'd have like these spiritual days that were like hills, but then she would go back down into the valley, which was the ego. And she talked about how wonderful the hills were, and she talked about how wonderful the valleys were. Because she says that's where she went to learn her lessons, as she called it. I say let go of more ego, right? But as you learn your lessons or let go of more ego, then what Peace Pilgrim said is the next hilltop was actually always higher. But then she would go down into the valley for her next lesson, right? But then the next hilltop was higher. And she says eventually she came up on a mountaintop where she never had to go down into the valley again, you know, because she had let go of ego completely. But you can tell by the way she explains it, for her, the hilltops were not more important than the valleys. Now, they may have been more painful, to, you know, because that's what we experience when the ego rears itself. But she had the genuine appreciation of the purpose that she could enjoy them just as much because they were just as important, maybe even more important, towards getting her to that final goal of being rid of ego than the peaceful days were, right? So the entire spiritual path can be enjoyed, maybe not with a giggle all of the time, but the entire spiritual path can be enjoyed. You can celebrate all of it. You can be grateful for all of it if your purpose is really important to you. Because every part of it is important, and those painful days are just as important as those joyous days. And no one has ever awakened without those painful days. Because that's when the stuff is coming up to be looked at, released, forgiven, right?
That's a good image to have when we are down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm very fortunate to have read Peace Pilgrim first, you know, as my first spiritual book, because she was so positive about everything. And I think that some of that rubbed off on me. And then it was there. So even when I was going through my really tough times, I never lost my gratitude or my willingness. You know, and you know, that was very, very, very helpful. Maybe that's what kept me from running from them. Right? I was able to go ahead and move through them because I understood that this was a part of the process. And not only that, an important part of the process. And so I had gratitude for it because of what I wanted. I wanted the, you know, for lack of better words, end result. And you don't get the end result without going through, you know, the process, right? So I was grateful for the process. All right, so verses 17 to 43. During this time of learning, there will seem to be a battle in your mind. For when the battle has ended, the time for learning has ended too. The battle will seem to be a battle between two wills, a will that will at first seem to be yours, and a will that may seem unknown to you. At first, you may not even know what it is that you battle, but you know you are following your own thoughts, and the result is confusion and discontent. What you have not realized is that you battle joy by thinking in your own way, and by laying down your own way, you find that joy awaits you. And again, that's the, you know, that's the human problem. You know, the human problem is thinking that what I think I want will make me happy. And it's not true. You know, one of the most common examples, you know, like I knew a woman once who really thought she wanted to be in a romantic relationship. And of course, you know, she did the dating things, right, online, and she met many, many men. And each time she got a new man that was going out with her, she was very excited because now she was going to get what she wanted. What's funny is that each relationship turned out exactly the same way. All of these men had different names, but the relationship was always exactly the same. And she would call me and, you know, and ask for help. And I would tell her what she really didn't want to hear, but it was the only truth. I said, the only reason you're suffering is because you want a relationship. I said, if you would let go of wanting a relationship, you could be happy. And she didn't want to hear that. So she would do the whole thing again, and it would happen over and over and over. And eventually, I think you guys know, I just let go of counseling. So as far as I know, she's still doing the same thing. But the interesting thing is, I was speaking the truth. If she would just let go of wanting a relationship, she could have been happy, because that was the primary thing that was causing all of her suffering, was thinking she wanted a relationship, thinking when I get a relationship, I will be happy. And so for years and years, she goes through one bad relationship and another bad relationship, and it was actually causing all of her misery, right? And so that's just an example, but we all do it. By thinking we want something, we actually create our own suffering. If we just accept whatever is given by the universe, surrender wholly to spirit, trust all things, there's nothing to block your happiness. Nothing. Nothing at all can happen that will cause you not to be happy. Again, you accept what is given, surrender completely to spirit, trust all things. If you do that 100%, you'll be happy all of the time. And it won't matter what shifts, what changes, what comes, what goes, you'll always be happy. But humans think somehow they have that belief in sacrifice. They have that, you know, belief, but if I give up wanting the romantic relationship, which I really, really want, I can't be happy. Without noticing that it's the wanting that's actually making them unhappy. In fact, maybe, you know, we'll go on, but maybe that could even be our assignment for the next week, is to notice where something that you think you want that isn't just given, right? I mean, it's great if it's given, but something you think you want that you're trying to get yourself, notice the level of suffering, whether it's a small, it could be a small level of suffering or a large level of suffering, but it's still suffering. It's not perfect happiness, right? So notice how trying to get what you want when it's not just given, handed to you by the universe, notice how that's actually creating your suffering. You think it's creating your joy, but you're just being blind is what you're being. It's actually creating your suffering. Okay, so sentence 6. Along the path to joy, there comes a time that you seem no longer fully dedicated to your own way. This is because the desire for joy is calling you, and you begin to recognize your willingness to lay down your will, which is also to lay down the battle. When you really start to want to truly be happy no matter what, then you start to put down all the stuff that was keeping you unhappy. Because now you're saying, you know what? You're right. What I really want is to be happy, not to have a romantic relationship. Forget the romantic relationship. I want to be happy. And when you start doing that, guess what the end result's going to be? You're going to be happy. You literally start laying down everything that you were clinging to, thinking they were going to make you happy. Because something in you starts to realize those are the things that were actually keeping you from being happy. And so you start to lay them down because now you want happiness, which means you no longer want all of these things that you thought you wanted. They're not what you're after. Sentence 8. You will have a time of seeking, asking questions, learning, and letting things go. And then the answers will begin to be clear. This is a time of great celebration, for you have found your service and you are willing to follow it. Yet learning has not been accomplished, for the mind remains split, and the mind that is split will continue to cling to its idols and fight for its own way. As we go further in NTI Acts, we're going to read more about what this paragraph has talked about. There are actually entire chapters dedicated to each part of this. So there's an entire chapter in NTI Acts dedicated to this period of seeking. There's an entire chapter dedicated to the asking questions and learning, which is called the loosening. An entire chapter dedicated to letting things go. An entire chapter dedicated to the time of service. So these are major phases that every single person learns, goes through. So this is just kind of an introduction. But what this is saying is that even when you get to your time of service, by the time you get to the phase of that's called service in NTI, you've cleared away a lot of obstacles. You have a lot of clarity. Listening to spirit becomes very easy. It's no longer a struggle. You just feel within you which is ego and which is spirit, and you disregard ego and you follow spirit, right? But what Spirit's telling here is even then remember that you have a split mind. And in fact, this might be the mistake that many, many people make is they might get to this stage which feels somewhat advanced compared to the stages they went through before. And then they start to get confident again without realizing that confidence is coming back from the ego. That, you know, kind of an I can take it from here feel without realizing they've said, I can take it from here, right? And so what Spirit's doing is reminding us that even as we get into these seemingly more advanced stages of awakening, if we are not awakened, we still have an ego. And so we must still remain very humble. We must still remain very surrendered. We must still remain very alert and, to never give that up. All right. So I think that's enough for tonight. So again, we already talked about the assignment. The assignment just kind of popped right out about looking and noticing things that we think we want that are actually causing some level of degree and suffering in us because of our trying to get them or whatever. You know, and just notice that what you think will make you happy may actually be making you suffer. And if you let it go, you might truly be happier. So, what I will do is stop the recorder, and then we'll just take a little longer period of silence, and then after the longer period of silence, we'll just talk about this in whatever way you guys want to talk about it. Period of discussion.